Afternoon, trust that you will pray that the Lord will bless us as I endeavor to speak to you. I was here a couple of years ago and I had a time getting up those steps. I had a bad knee and the Lord blessed me to get it repaired, and I thank Him for it. I've already received a great blessing tonight. You sung hymn number 26. The last verse of that song says, "Oh, the grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." I've always been afraid of debt. Ever since I married, I didn't want to get in debt too much. But I thank God that He's blessed me to see how great a debtor I am. The grace. I want to turn tonight to the book of Exodus. And I begin reading at the 17th chapter. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash with them. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now this was a brazen laver that God instructed Moses to build. And that lesson teaches us that it was for Aaron and his sons to wash their hands and feet before they entered into the service to minister of the things of God. And if they didn't do it, they would die. That's just that plain. Now, in the 40th chapter, of the book of Exodus, we read, I began reading in the 10th verse, and thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offerings and all his vessels and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver in his foot and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. We began by seeing that Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet. But Moses is told by God to bring Aaron and his sons before the door of the tabernacle and to wash them. And I believe that we can find several washings in the New Testament that will teach us some wonderful lessons tonight if the Lord would bless us. Moses is instructed by God to wash Aaron and his sons before they put on the holy garments. Turn with me to Revelation 1. And you pray for me. The 5th verse. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I believe this washing that's under consideration in this verse is typical of what Moses did to Aaron and his sons. Moses washed them. And here we are told that he that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's a judicial washing. No. That's when all the elect of God were cleaned up, as if it were. That's when all the sins of all of God's elect were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became their substitute, and the wrath and justice and holiness of God was poured out on him. And he suffered what you and I should suffer in the devil's hell. A judicial cleanup. Justified in the sight of God. I like what Paul says about it in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now that doesn't mean that there's no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, and that's not a condition. That's not a conditional text. I heard it preached one time by a Primitive Baptist as a conditional, and I couldn't hardly sit there. Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the elect family of God stand tonight with no condemnation against them. Who can condemn one of them, Paul says in the 8th chapter? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It was Christ that died. It's Christ that justified them. The word justified them, I just simply means cleared of all guilt. They stand in the presence of God tonight as though they never sinned. What a blessing that wonderful doctrine is. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ judiciously set all of God's children free from their sins. And their sins have been moved as far from them as the east is from the west, to be remembered against them no more. You can't dig up the sins of God's elect because they're gone. They're behind the back of God. They're tied in a bag and cast into the depth of the sea. I heard an old preacher one time preaching, and he said, he was riding in an airplane, and he said, the pilot came over the speaker and said, we are now over the known deepest part of the ocean. He said, I just couldn't help but shout. And somebody asked him, said, what's wrong? He said, nothing's wrong. I just thought about all of my sins are tied up in a bag and cast into the depth of the sea. Amen. And nobody can get them. They're gone. Thank God tonight that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins are gone. Oh, the grace, how great a debtor, daily unconstrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Oh, I need to be close to the Lord. I need to be bound by God's grace to him. What a blessing it is tonight to be able to tell God's children that your sins are gone. You don't have anything to worry about as far as heaven is concerned. Jesus bought it and paid for it for us. And he promised before he left, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house of many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again, that where I am, there you may be also. One day we're going to be there, Brother Ronnie. And we're going to be clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God. If I don't get on with this thing, Brother Danny, I don't know where I'll leave you no time or not. I better get on. We want to go now to the book of Titus. There's a washing in Titus that I want us to look at in the 3rd chapter. Now, I think I tried to show you that we're judicially clean in the sight of God. Listen to this text. Titus 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear. Isn't that wonderful about that, Jesus? Oh, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All of God's children that are judicially saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be internally cleansed from all of our sins by the new birth. This is the same thing that Jesus taught Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you and I, as God's children, are not born again, we can't see spiritual things. I don't have to tell you tonight how depraved you are, do I? I doubt that. I doubt there's anybody here that don't know what a wretched sinner we all are. But we've been cleaned up. Listen, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, it is not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration. There's a cleansing that takes place internally when a child of God is born to the Spirit. We're cleansed and we're given a heart of flesh so that we can serve God in an acceptable manner while we live here. Isn't that wonderful? Who sinners such as you and I can actually praise our God and thank him that we have a heart of love in us, which he shed on us abundantly. That's a good text right there. It's abundant salvation. I heard old Brother Pat Bird preach one time from a verse on scarce salvation, you remember? You know what that's at. If the righteous, I'd quote that, Brother Ronnie. If the righteous be saved, what shall the sinner and ungodly appear? Something like that. I got that wrong, all out of context and everything else, but you know what I'm talking about. And Brother Pat Bird said, it's possible that a child of God may go in heaven with his coattail on fire. And I thought about this verse, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I knew that Brother Pat didn't mean that. I knew Brother Pat meant that salvation was salvation by God's grace and you were thoroughly saved. But Brother Pat was getting a thought across to that congregation that night. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've got ourselves cleaned up in the sight of God judicially. And now we found a text that we're all our internal organs, by the grace of God, have been cleansed. He's washed us in his own blood. And then there is some verses that's found in 1 Peter. I believe the 3rd chapter. But before I go there, I want to go to the 1st chapter of the Gospel of John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to see this one. I don't know where you need it as much as I do or not, but I need a daily cleansing. I need a daily cleansing every day of my life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that God has enabled us as his children as we travel through this world? Sometimes we make mistakes, don't we? Sometimes people let their mouth say more than they should. Some people don't control their tongue. And it gets them in a lot of trouble. I have, through the years, got in trouble with my tongue. And I feel guilty about it. Do you feel guilty when you make a mistake? You know, James says, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But we do sin, don't we? But ain't it wonderful that we've got a God in heaven and an intercessor that sits next to him that says, if you'll confess your sins, I'll be faithful to forgive you.
Amen.
I just clean you up.
Amen.
And I'll take that guilt that's in your heart and I'll remove it.
Amen.
Till you do it again. Isn't it a wonderful blessing tonight?
Amen.
To have the privilege to get on my knees and just confess to the Lord our weaknesses.
Amen.
And our sins and feel his love to us and saying, I forgive you. Get out condemned and get up feeling good.
Amen.
That's a Savior in us.
Amen.
What a blessing it is tonight for sinners to cleanse their hands by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a daily cleansing. I need to walk closer to the Lord. And you know, that's what walking closer to the Lord, it doesn't make you righteous. It just shows the state in which the God has already made us. And then there's a ceremonial washing called in God's Word. I believe we'll find something about that in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, where a man that Paul is sent to by the name of Ananias. Brother Danny, you keep up with when I started. And when I get through, you let me know. I get out of your way. Ananias, as Saul has been, I believe, born of the Spirit on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
God struck him down.
Amen.
Now, this was a lot more than conversion.
Amen.
This was the receiving of life. It knocked this man to his knees. And Jesus actually spoke to him and said, go on down to Damascus, and there'll be a man down there by the name of Ananias, and he'll tell you something. I just want to read one verse. And Ananias said to him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, you and I both know tonight that baptism doesn't clean you up. Peter tells us that, doesn't he? He says baptism does not put away the filth of the flesh, but it gives you the answer of a good conscience toward God. Do you know if anything tonight that's any sweeter for a child of God than to have the answer of a good conscience toward God? That's what baptism does for you. It's a ceremonial cleansing. It's a being buried in a liquid grave in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You remember when the old leper was cleansed over in Leviticus 13, 14, I think. If a leper was to come up one day and his leprosy be gone, he'd go show himself to the priest. And the priest would declare clean. You know what he had to do? He had to wash. And when a child of God has seen that his sins have been forgiven, he needs to take a bath in a liquid grave in the name of the Son of God. Manifest
and that you do believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that he died, and that he was buried, and that he arose. And I want to tell the world that he's my Savior. Ceremonially, clean up. Thank God tonight for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, it doesn't put away not one sin of the flesh. But I tell you what it does do. If you're burdened to be baptized, if God's burdened your heart, you'll leave something in the grave, that liquid grave, that'll never bother you again. I'm a living witness of it. Over 40-something years ago, Brother Cecil Darty baptized me, and I've never wanted to be baptized again. I'm satisfied with it.
Amen.
I left something in that pool that day that's never bothered me again. And every child of God who's got a burdened heart, who loves your Lord, you need to profess him. Confess him with your mouth and be baptized in his name for what he's done for us. Just think about what he's done for us. Sometimes the Lord blesses me to see what my Lord went through on the cross, suffering for my sins. Sometimes I can hear him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Now, I know I've heard from preachers preach on that cup a lot of times. And I don't know where I've ever heard one preach on it exactly the way I believe it. But oh, that's awful, ain't it? You know, when the cup's mentioned, I think about communion. I don't know about you. But the blessed communion was cut off between God the Father and God the Son on that cross. And he cried out, my God, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Before perfect harmony had been between the two. But now, separation. May God bless us all to love him for what he's done for us. When you pray, remember me in your prayer.
I would long ago so great, how to save me from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard of his robing, how his precious blood does on me.
I heard about
Redeemed God.